Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Maglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. He's also a Crown Ministries budgeting coach, heard right here weekdays on KKLA. He would love to hear from you if you need financial counseling or coaching in any way. You can call 800-386-3700 and visit online, theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up for our quarterly newsletter. Pick up a copy of Tom's latest book. I'm Reba Tony. Glad to be with you as we're making our way through this this great series, Contentment.
How are you, Reba?
I'm great. Did you have a Merry Christmas?
I did. It's great to see you. How are you doing?
You too. I'm doing really good. Thanks. Just busy working.
I know. You're such a worker bee.
I know. This year. Well, you know, I'm going to Ethiopia this year. I'm going to the Bahamas and hopefully China and taking a personal vacation. So I'm going to be very busy this year. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put in those hours while I can.
Well, you certainly are, and that's very biblical of you.
Well, thank you.
Because God's economy, part of it runs on hard work. So good for you. Now, let's start off. Okay, today is program four of the 12-part series on contentment. Okay, so it's on this series. We have a 12-part series on contentment, folks. Today is program four. And if you missed the past three, just go to the website and you can hear the previous programs.
You can download them onto your new iPod, which many people have new iPods.
Okay, but what if they don't have all that and they just want to hear the program?
They can just listen online.
How?
It's very self-explanatory. Do some clicking around. You'll find it.
Website?
Turn your speakers on.
Okay.
www.theeconomyofgod.com.
But you need a computer that speaks.
That speaks. Speakers.
Okay.
There we go.
Where sound comes out of it. Okay, got it. Okay, let's go with 2 Timothy 3:16-17. My turn. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's kind of our verse that we start out every single program with, right, Reba?
It is. It really brings our focus back to the Word and what it's going to do for us.
Exactly. And you and I, Reba, really, this program is about God and what God says, what God thinks, what God wrote. You and I are just messengers. That's all we claim to be. We don't claim to be, oh, we're so smart and the people listening are not, or anything like that at all. We're works in progress, too. And today's program on Anchor 4, Contentment, based on our book, Knowing the Economy of God, we're in Program 4 of Anchor 4 on Contentment. And today's program, Reba, we'll talk about that, goals versus needs and wants. But before we do that, how about if you read 1 Timothy 6:6-10, and give us our passage of Scripture for today. We've been talking about it really for the last couple of weeks, and there's so much in this passage.
Okay, listen in, because this is pretty meaty. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. By those that desire to be rich, but those that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish things and harmful desires, which drowned men into destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have wandered from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows.
Right. That's 1 Timothy 6:6-10. And in this section, Reba, we're talking about, first of all, before we get to today's economic lesson, let's talk about what the dictionary says contentment is and discontentment is. So why don't you give us the dictionary definition of the word contentment.
Contentment is the satisfaction with one's status or material possessions in life, satisfied with a situation, freedom of care or discomfort, the state of being contented.
Wow. That is how contentment is defined. And the reason it's anchor four in the book and in our program is because so many Christians fail to have a good handle on contentment in their finances and in God's economy, thus getting into sin and walking right into serious problems. And that, in turn, destroys their relationship with God, or at least hurts it big time, and can often hurt relationships with spouses and kids and other people, all because of a lack of contentment. So
the four anchors would be God as the owner.
Right.
We're the stewards.
Right.
Be a cheerful giver and have contentment.
Absolutely.
So those are the four anchors. That's what you just said. The fourth one is what we're talking about today. Contentment.
Contentment. And Reba, give us the definition now of a discontented person or lack of contentment.
Discontented is the dissatisfaction with a situation, lacking in material possessions or status in life. It's a sense of grievance, restless aspiration for improvement, one who is discontented.
Right. Now, today's economic lesson is we need to know the difference between a goal and a need, want, or desire. Because when we don't meet our goals or our goals are not met, we can become discontented or discontent.
We have an expectation that's not met, a goal that's not met. That does usually bring a lot of hurt.
Right. Well, let's talk about these goals because they're different than a need, a want, or a desire. Okay. And let us define a goal, need, and want. A goal, according to Webster's Dictionary, is the end toward which effort is directed, a desired objective, an object or end result desired for. That's what a goal is. Like putting it in real life terms, Reba, let's say your goal for fun is I want to be president of a radio company, a worldwide radio company, and I want, that's my goal. I want to be the president, and I want it so much. And that's what I want to be. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. Or someone else's goal, I want to be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. Or someone else's goal, I want to be loaded with stocks and bonds and gold and real estate. So I never have to think about any money type things. That's my goal. So there's different definitions for these things. Now, a need is being in want, something you have to have, something necessary, physiological or psychological requirement for existence or for living. Okay. Now, wanting, when we want, that's when we fail to possess something that we really need to have. Oftentimes, Reba, it means no boundaries to coveting, no boundaries or limits to desire. And that's big trouble because then we're suffering from the lack of something. We feel this huge need. We have unrestrained want, and that can be greed, lust, or coveting. And we talked about coveting in many programs ago. So we need to understand, to get a handle on contentment, we need to understand the difference between a goal, a want, and a need.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have those very tangled. You know, we learned the hierarchy of needs, food, shelter, clothing, a desire to be loved. Those things are in a like a pyramid.
Exactly.
And once you get one, then you'll quickly look for the next need. But after those are met, what are the rest of them? Are they wants or are they goals? What after your needs are met, what is everything else?
Well, that's a great point and a great question. And I want to just remind everyone about a false god before I go on. Exodus 20, verse 3. We've talked about this a million times on this program. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And anytime we put anything in front of God, Reba, that can become a mini god or an idol or a false god. Now, having a goal is biblical. Having a goal is not wrong, as long as those goals are lined up with God's will. For example, Reba, I want a job. I want to work. My goal is to get a job. That's different than saying, I must have the presidency of a radio company, and I'll never be happy until I get it.
Wow.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
Okay?
It is.
Because one satisfies your need, and we looked what Paul said, with food and clothing, we will be content with these. Okay? And godliness and contentment together is great gain. So we need to really lower those expectations on what a real need is. Somebody could say, well, my need is to have lots of jewelry. No, that's a desire. That's a want. That's not a need. A need is what you need to live.
Now, let me see if I have this right. Desire would be, or want would be to have a lot of jewelry.
Yes.
A goal would be, what we defined was is the end toward which an effort is directed. So if you said, my goal is to have a lot of jewelry, then you're saying, you have a plan to get that. I'm going to work thus and such amount of days to get that.
Exactly. And the problem with the contentment issue here is I'll never be happy until I get that jewelry.
Wow.
And enough. And as much as I want to make me full. That's where the discontentment comes in. And people go putting money on credit cards or putting those jewelry purchases on credit cards and get into debt because they've got to have what they desire. That's the sin.
Gosh.
There's a big difference, Reba, in finances in God's economy amongst Christians when they say the difference between a goal a need and a want.
Especially the jewelry thing. You use that as an example. And it's one of those things that, you know, it doesn't really have a lot of practical use in our life. You know what I mean?
That's debatable. A lot of ladies,
I know, but
people
that's
would
the,
say, oh,
that's
yes,
a really
it does.
Funny thing because, you know, I love jewelry, but the fact is it doesn't transport you anywhere. It doesn't keep you warm. It doesn't keep you cool. It doesn't feed your body. It doesn't, you can't dig a hole to put a seed in with a jewelry. You can't,
right.
It doesn't really have a lot of practical uses.
That's right.
It's the perfect object. To use as an example.
But it's something that even in the beginning of the Old Testament, people killed for, people
wow.
dug up dirt for, literally, and people wanted it badly.
You know what? We're going to keep talking about this. This is a great topic. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Maglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will present The Economy of God, 4 anchor principles for life, as well as coach you on how to create a budget and spending plan. The day will include a special luncheon, fashion show, free raffle drawing prizes, and a wonderful gift package for all who attend. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700. Ladies, space is limited, so register now online at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up, get more information, details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Maglia.
And we're back. Wow, lost track of time just a few minutes ago. This contentment, we're in the fourth part of our 12-part series, and we're just talking about jewelry and what a great example of that as far as wants and desires go, because it's not a need.
Right. And Reba, it can be a lot of things. It could be, as I said, president and CEO of the Dodgers organization or a big radio broadcasting company. There's nothing wrong with having goals or biblical. It's the problem is when we become discontented and then we get upset and we wander away from God's best when we don't achieve those goals. And that's why we ask the questions, you know, what will it take financially for us to become content?
Right.
What's it going to take?
Right. Because it's, you know, God is so loving and generous. And he put this whole planet, every ruby, every ounce of gold, he put it all here for us. So for us to be ordained with beautiful jewelry, that's not a problem. But it's that desire for that instead of a desire for contentment. That's the problem.
Exactly. And God's goal for us, Reba, is to what? Obey him. Mm-hmm. And to find our financial and personal contentment in him through Jesus Christ. That's God's goal. Okay? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about goals? Tom's goals, Reba's goals. Let's talk about what God's goal is. And we need to learn through progress, works in progress, which we are, and testing that our strength comes from Him and our contentment through Him only. Mm-hmm. Not God and the jewelry, God and the job status, mm-hmm. God and the marital status, mm-hmm. not God and my fancy estate or whatever. Those are false gods. Go read Exodus 20, verse 3. Those are false gods. When we find our contentment away from Jesus Christ, we're wandering from the faith, like 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10 talks about.
So, like, let's say if you're a 15-year-old child and you really want or feel a need to have a car when you turn 16.
Oh, no.
Kids grow up, Tom.
I don't want them to.
I don't want mine to either.
I wish they were little.
Aw. Like three. Three is a great age.
I like it when they were real little.
Yeah, I did too. But they're not. They're getting older. And I guess the thing is if whether they get that car when they turn 16 or not, they still need to be content.
Right. And that's another goal for them too. Everybody has their goals. 15-year-old might say, I not only want my driver's license, I want a fancy car so I can show my friends.
But they might not have a job or any money.
True. But they have other ways of getting it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, mom, hey, dad.
Right.
Aren't I a great kid? And
right.
Don't I deserve this? And they start, you know, the whole sales pitch. So there's a lot of issues in there. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at this, Reba, we need to talk about trusting in God and not in our circumstances, like job or marital status, how much money we have, mm-hmm. how wealthy we are, showing others our goods and money and this kind of thing. That's not what we're supposed to put our contentment in.
Mm-hmm.
That's trusting in certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems with that is God might take all that away from us. And then all the neighbors and friends will say, what happened to all your wealth? And now you think of yourself as a what? As a loser.
Ooh.
And a lot of people have committed suicide because of that.
Mm-hmm. Jumped out of the window.
Yes.
Lose their stocks.
Right, because they feel in their heart they're empty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But see, that's why we must not wander from the faith in the first place.
And, you know, the show-off mentality like you're just talking about. There are a lot of people that are looking for some sort of status or to be nudged to the top through their assets.
Right.
And, you know, it might work in the secular world, but it doesn't work in God's economy.
Exactly. Now, Reba, if you had a goal of, I want to be the president of a big multi-country international radio company in order to serve Jesus and accomplish the Great Commission and be part of it, that's a great goal. Mm-hmm. But God may have other plans, and that's where you need to be content if that's not God's will for you. But to have that kind of goal lines up with more of God's will, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I can show everybody and look what I've become and see, I was different than what you thought I would become, mm-hmm. and all this kind of show stuff and everything.
That's dangerous. Yeah, the interesting thing about that is that while we're planning our steps, God has things that He wants to do with us.
Oh, yes. Are you kidding?
And if we get so focused on that one thing, then how is God going to use us?
Well, He can't, Reba, because we wandered from the faith and pierced ourselves with many griefs. Read 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Mm-hmm. It is serious.
Now, this is the time of year. Everybody's going to have their New Year's resolutions. They're going to write them down, mm-hmm. you know, in about 2 days, and they're going to want to give them up on Monday morning. But they're really going to put some thought into their goals and different things for, mm-hmm. for 2007. How
right.
can we get into a practical place of not getting into too much to the desire?
Well, you have to go to prayer, because you have to say to God, what is your plan for me, Lord? And Proverbs 16, 1, 2, 3, and 9 talks about God's plans for us, not our plans, and then making God fulfill our plans that we have.
Yeah.
It's asking God through His plan for us to help us to trust and obey Him. Read Proverbs 16, 1, 2, 3, and 9. It'll be like, okay, I think I will trust the Lord and not myself.
Uh-huh.
One of the verses says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps.
Wow.
Reba, why would we want our own steps?
His steps are so much better than ours. Believe me, I've tried both.
Well, we'll sprain our ankle if we don't.
Yeah.
Whose steps do we trust in? Our steps?
No.
Ankle sprain. God's steps?
Mm-hmm.
Safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to tell you about a story, Reba.
Okay.
About 4.5 years ago, I met a guy named Ned, changed his name, of course, for the radio.
Okay.
He was a big businessman
and
a show-off.
Hmm.
He loved going to parties, going anywhere he could, Christian guy, single guy, go to anywhere he could, show it off.
Is he still available?
No, and I'm kind of glad he's not. He's not good enough for you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay? Not until he's back on track with the Lord.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, remember, I'm very protective, in case you didn't get that. He used to say to me, Tom, just another million, then I'll be content. Just one more million, and I'm all done.
Wow.
I'd say, what do you mean you're done? He's, I'm done. Another million. I go, how many million does it take to make you happy? Or the word I use, Ned, content.
Yeah.
He's like, well, one more.
One more.
Just one more. And sure enough, he got to that point, and was he ever empty? Depressed, angry. He was flaunting his money to people. After a while, they could care less. They said, you know, that's not working for us.
Right.
Because he surrounded himself with really neat Christians who didn't look to that as so great. Because they were like, well, what happened to Christ? You never bring up the Lord. All you talk about is what you've accomplished. And he got beat up. And I think God was like, okay, you got your million, your extra million, and one beyond the extra.
Wow.
You're still not happy. How come? The answer is his goal in the first place was sinful. It was a sin. Okay? To do that. Did he want to use the money for God's glory? No. For Ned's glory.
Wow.
And that was a sin. He had to deal with that. He still is to this day. That's not his real name. But, you know, Reba, there are so many examples like that in this world. And it doesn't have to be just money and, you know, I've got this many jewels or whatever. It's what they mean in your soul. Is the money a sin? No. 1 Timothy 6, 6-10 says the
love of money
is the root of all kinds of evil. See, and that's the problem. So for today, people need to realize the difference between a goal, a need, and a want, and how we can be content if our goals are not met. It's good to plan. It's good, godly to have goals. But if they don't get attained or met, can you still become content?
I see a lot of hurting people who expected life to be different.
Yes.
Expected to be at a different place in their life.
That's right.
And it haunts them.
You know, Reba, that's a great word you bring up. It's kind of sad, though, that it's haunting them.
Yeah, that their own expectation is haunting them.
Right.
Nobody else had these expectations. We're in America. It doesn't matter what anybody else expects.
I know.
You know? But their own expectation is what later trips them up.
Right. And my kids don't care about dad getting one more client. They care about dad spending another hour with them, more quality time, quantity of time. In the end, we're not going to look back and say, I wish I had more business back in the 1980s, 90s, or 2000s.
Right.
We're going to sum up our what? Our relationships, both with Christ and with people we cared about, Reba. So I counsel people like this every day, and that's where we need to pray. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Jesus. You are the word. Lord, help us to obey you and to trust in you, Jesus, and to learn the true meaning of contentment, not Tom's way or Tom's thinking, but the Bible's way. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Now, if you just prayed that prayer, we want to hear from you. Call 800-386-3700. You need to plan for retirement, children's education, reduce tax liability, invest for special situations. Tom is a man after God's own heart, and he's got a vast array of financial expertise and experience. First consultation with Tom is free, so call 800-386-3700 today. We will see you in 2007. Bye till then.
Listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.